Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 18th, 2013. If you've joined us on past broadcasts, especially on Friday, you know we'll be turning to the book of Acts in just a few minutes as we're going to enter into chapter 3. So grab that Bible if you can. If you're driving along, well, just listen closely because we'll cover some of the texts that we're going to address this morning, and we'll pray that up in just a minute. But Jason, I've loved this week thus far. We had Joey Kroll yesterday doing a pastor appreciation program, different ways we can honor our pastors throughout this month. It's Clergy Appreciation Month. And so Joey Kroll, if you were tuned in yesterday, he gave a lot of different tips on how to honor and support and encourage your pastor. And so I appreciate Joey Kroll and his role with this radio ministry. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we had Roger Juan, and he's the author of Chasing God, Finding Faith. It was a two-day interview, powerful transformational story of his life, early years, his formative years, the abusive nature of his relationship with his dad and family, and some of the choices he made, and yet how God worked in his life through a TV evangelist, I believe when he was like 27 years old. And if you missed Tuesday or Wednesday's broadcast, I invite you to go to our archive programs page. You're in for a blessing because it's a very God-honoring story, and yet some of the mission and ministry work that he does in the Tenderloin area of San Francisco, where I think we recounted on Tuesday and Wednesday, 586 apartment buildings in like a 1 square mile area in and around San Francisco, where like 37,000 plus people, and his vision and heart for them, and just the brokenness that he experienced in his own life by seeing some of the abuse, the bullying, the homelessness, and the unbelievable amount of needs all these people had. So if you tuned in, I'm sure you shed a tear or two and then thought, gosh, I can take an active role in doing some things, stepping out in faith and trusting God to use me. And so that's archived. And then on Monday, we had Jim Powell, and that was a friend of yours, Jason, or somebody you know in the ministry in the Peoria era. His new book, Dirt Matters, The Foundation for a Healthy, Vibrant, and Effective Congregation. And so this whole week has been, I think, very beautiful. And then on Wednesday, I received this email from a friend of both of ours. She came from Donna Bundy. In fact, tomorrow she's going to have a little cookout for some of us that went to Israel. And I thought I'd have you read that because it references back to Tuesday and Wednesday's program. And I just thought it was kind of a special little email that I got on Wednesday. So how about reading that for us?
Donna writes, she says, I've been listening to your radio guests the last 2 days, that would be Roger Juan, and have really been overwhelmed by the stories. I'll pray for those people who get right in the thick of the oppressed and put their heart and soul into the Lord's work. What a blessing they are to those people. I knew of those places because I have a friend of my own from a hometown who used to go there and work with the homeless and disciple them. I asked her one time if she was nervous or afraid when she was there, and she said, why would I be afraid? The Lord took me there and was with me all the time. She said then that when she got back home, she realized where she had been, and she asked herself, wow, did I really go there? She's a woman with a loving heart for the weak in spirit and lost souls. Unfortunately, is in her third bout with cancer. It's a bone marrow, and they're only able to give her chemotherapy treatments, and hopefully those will shrink the tumors and give her some relief from the pain. Donna says, I saw her a few weeks ago, and she is at peace, but said she really has to battle the pain. She surely is a spiritual warrior working for the Lord. She asks if we and the Great News Radio listeners would pray for this woman. Her name is Almeida Eisen, and she lives in Crandon, Wisconsin. Her husband's name is Duard. He's under a lot of stress, as we can believe, you know, along with the children. So they're asking for prayer for the family. And she just wants to thank the radio station so much for the outreach and the facets of the Lord's work that's happening here. And she understands the intensity and the oppression that we probably all feel as we're doing the Lord's work. She says she looks forward to the program every day and has grown so much spiritually due to the willingness to search out these situations and bring them to the surface and share these stories in large pieces to be able to show us what's happening in the world. She says she really admires the dedication to the listeners, and she says that you and I make a great team, Mark. And she feels in her heart that this awareness that we're helping to bring, that the radio ministry is helping to bring, is due to the two of us. And as we bring it to the attention that we're allowing people to enter into the mission field and be able to engage the lost and the things that are on the Lord's heart. And so Donna is very thankful for the things that the radio ministry does in her life and says that she looks forward to listening to the programs daily.
Doesn't that kind of bless your socks off, as Herb would say? I mean, those are the kind of things, those words, you know, that God's being glorified. I mean, thank you, God, that we both have a role, but really it's about what he's doing. It's the timing of the artist, the author, the scripture verse being read. It's how he's speaking personally to the people tuned in. If you're tuned in today, there's a purpose for that, and there's something that God will say to you that will maybe be an impression on your heart, or it'll bring clarity to something you're wrestling with, or a thought like, I got to make some choices, and suddenly that topic or that point might be addressed, or, you know, just some of the laughter. Or as you and I were talking about just before we got on the air, there's a difference between really being there or experiencing something through someone else. And we were talking about with Roger's ministry that both of us, that kind of a tear came to our hearts and minds as he talked about that situation with a dress and being handed the dress and hundreds of cockroaches on it. And yet it's a whole nother thing to actually be in there, seeing it happen. And I think that's kind of some of the beauty, is we can learn through other people's experiences, but as they share what they've done, we can step out in faith and replicate some of that, or say, okay, Lord, maybe I need to help out at the homeless center or a soup kitchen or get involved in my church as these people did. So thank you, God, for a new day for each and every one of us. So if you're alive today and you're tuned in, God wants to work in and through you. He has a plan and purpose laid out for you. There's so many different ways that's manifested. It might be a kind word. It might be opening up a door and just assisting somebody. It might be leaving a good tip for a waitress that, you know, has three children at home and is trying to make ends meet. It might be God putting somebody's situation on your heart and mind and you're praying for that. It might be during this month where we honor and celebrate our pastors, you calling them up and giving them an encouraging word or sending them a gift card. There's a gazillion ways that God can manifest himself through you today. So be that active agent. Ask him, Lord, direct my path. Holy Spirit, order the steps that I will take. Lord Jesus, help there be divine appointments where I can bring you into the conversation or model you or reference the story that you'd like to live out in me. Help me, you know, introduce someone to you. And thank you, God, for Jason. I got to share the love. Just Jason's a good friend. It's that Barnabas-Saul kind of relationship at times. And as we just share our lives with each other and one another and allow the Lord to be the center of that, good things will always follow. And I'll leave it up to the Lord to define what that good thing is. Because sometimes that good thing is refining fires or convictions or, hey, you're a sinner. There was years ago where I was told once, I was a nice jerk. And I think it was a life-changing situation where somebody spoke some truth in me. And, yeah, you're a nice guy, but you're being a jerk. And it's like, it's the funniest thing. You and I have somewhat similar senses of humor, things that we delight in. But for somebody to tell me years ago I was a nice jerk, it was exactly what I needed to hear to take some active changes. So here we have a new day. We're going to be in the book of Acts. Thank you, Donna, for taking the time to write us, to exhort us, and yet also to see how God is using this radio ministry. And that kind of feedback helps me, at least anyways, be energized to pour my heart, my passion, my energy into this work of God, because he can use it in so many unique and special ways. So we pray today you will grow closer to him, that through something that's said and shared, as we go even into the book of Acts, we can see how God was working in people that wanted to be an active agent. And some of us, maybe we don't even want to be an active agent. Too bad. God's still going to work through us. So how about praying us up for this chapter 3 of the book of Acts? Some of you might be unfamiliar where that's located in the Bible, but it's in the New Testament, what we call the New Testament. I think Bill Allison would say it's the
Second Testament.
Second Testament. There's the First Testament, oftentimes referred to as the Old Testament, but there's the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts follows right after that. So pray us up, and let's see what God's going to teach us all through the reading of his word.
Lord, we just ask that you would open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our mind, Lord, that you would balance the two, that we would think and process and know, but in the same token, Lord, that deep inside of our hearts, that we would have this heart longing to know who you are through your word. Lord, we would balance words against just the divine revelation of what you're going to share with us, your wisdom and your knowledge, but more so, Lord, just your grace, your grace. And Lord, I just think that the great song, Your Grace is Enough. Lord, we just ask that you would lead us, you would guide us, that you would open us up, and Lord, that you would put our feet to work. And we pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so, you know, I heard this story, and it was really funny. I mean, you know, it's really funny when you hear a story, and then it lands in your backyard. But there was a guy who, he went to St. Peter's Basilica, and he walked inside there, and he went to the front desk. If you've ever been traveling, and you've gone to a place like St. Peter's Basilica, these well-known places, they have a desk up in front to be able to kind of monitor the traffic, because they serve dual purposes. I mean, they're large cathedrals where people come to worship, and people come to do that. But they've also become, because of the historical things, tourist attractions. So the person came up to the desk at St. Peter's Basilica, and he said, I need to use the phone. I want to make a phone call to God. And the person looked at him kind of quizzically, and he said, I need to make a phone call, and I want to call God. And the person kind of said, well, you know, that'll be $2,000. And the guy goes, I don't have that kind of money. So he left, and he went, you know, to the cathedral at Notre Dame, and he walked in. And again, Notre Dame being a destination place, there was a large desk in the front. And he said, I love to make a phone call to God. And the person at the front desk said, looked at him quizzically and said, a phone call to God? He goes, yeah, I need to make a phone call to God. He said, well, that'll be $2,700. And the guy said, I didn't have $2,000. I certainly don't have $2,700. So he went over to St. Anne's Cathedral in Devonshire, beautiful cathedral, went up there to the front desk and said, I'd love to make a phone call to God. And the guy at Devonshire just looked at him again quizzically and just said, yeah, well, that'll be $3,400. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, I don't have $2,000. I don't have $2,700. I certainly don't have $3,400. So he left out of there. And what's fascinating is he showed up here at the radio studio just a few minutes ago, and he said, I'd love to make a phone call to God. And Mark said, to God? He looked at him quizzically like all the other people. He said, yeah, phone call to God. He goes, what is it, $2,000, $2,700, $3,400, $4,000? And Mark said, no, it's a local call. It's free.
Funny Friday, our new theme. Send your jokes to P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois.
Oh, stop it. I think it's funny because he says that. I love jokes like that because every joke I think that's truly funny where we kind of get a little giggle is because there's a great amount of truth to the joke. And what this joke tells us is that we think that there's somehow, somewhere else, somehow, something, or some mechanism where we get to talk to God, where we get to be a part of what God is doing. And, you know, we go to these different places, and people will put a price tag on what that means to connect with God. I've been in plenty of religious situations where that's true. If you want to be a part of here and connecting to God, you need to be in this ministry, or you need to make sure you tithe this amount of money. And it's important that we're generous with our gifts and our time and all those things, because that's what the Lord gave us these gifts and times for. But what we need to understand is that we can be communion with God Almighty right now.
And it's not how you dress.
Right.
Or how you follow all these rules. We have that tendency to kind of have it all laid out. If, in fact, you do this, 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 and you do this, this, then you can enter into that relationship with God.
Yeah, the Bible talks about many, many times, it talks about God's house, and it talks about the house of the Lord. Well, in biblical terms, the house of the Lord is this place, not this small place, not this building, not that, but this place, the circular circumference of, you know, as Isaiah would say, the circle of the earth. It's the wholeness of what God's creation is. And, you know, what a great day we have today to be in God's church, because God is right here. He's never left. He hasn't vacated it. He's living and he's active. I think before the program I prayed, and it was just something that God spoke to my heart, that we can't even fathom the amount of things that God is doing in people's lives in this very moment, in this second. I mean, if we knew, if we could pipe into everything that God is doing in this second, it would blow our minds. We would crumble beneath the weight of glory, because it's God is living and God is active.
And you're also saying, for maybe the person unfamiliar with a relationship with God, I thought God's only available on Sunday in this building.
Yeah.
And you're really saying God is everywhere. He's an active agent working and abiding in those of us that follow him. And yet he's also living and active in every circumstance, everywhere. And so even the atheist that's saying there's no such thing as a God, ha ha, think again, because he's right there wooing you to himself.
He certainly is. And you know what? I want to tell you what. I believe things deeply inside of my heart. But at my core, I'm an imperfect person. You know, if anybody has any questions about that, I'll pair you up with my wife. She's got a list. She'll tell you the things that I'm imperfect at. And I know what they are, too. And I'm an imperfect person. But I'm an imperfect person following a perfect Savior. And receiving revelation and wisdom from that perfect Savior via the Holy Spirit. And what we do matters. What we do and how we live our lives matter. We'll segue into probably just a little bit of the book of Acts as we go, but what we do really, really matters. And why does it matter? It matters because we do it with God. Because as a Christian, we do it in the power of God's Spirit and in the truth of God's Spirit, in the tenacity of God's Spirit. And so we do it with God, so there starts to become a different sort of weight to what we do than what we normally would think. It's like, can you take out the trash to the glory of God, or can you just take out the trash? I mean, something takes a whole different measure to it when you do that. And I just want to say this. When we go through the Bible, you know, and it's really easy to find targets. You know, it's really easy when you're studying the Bible, you're reading the Bible, you're in maybe a certain group, you know, maybe you are, and I'm speaking broadly here, so please know my heart. Maybe you're Baptist, or maybe you're Presbyterian, or maybe you're Lutheran, or maybe you're Catholic, or maybe you're Methodist, or maybe you're whatever denomination I just forgot to mention. Maybe you're a part of that club or that circle. And the inclination, the very human inclination, is to look across the divide and start to point your finger at the other person and begin to focus on what divides us instead of the thing that unites us. You know, it's easy for me. I can spend about 15 seconds on Google and find a good target each week when I go to write a sermon. You know, somebody who's not doing what I want to teach. And it's really, really, really easy to find a brother in Christ who isn't doing what I think he should be doing, and begin to make that person a target instead of, maybe we need to find targets of grace, find targets of mercy. Instead of shooting people who we think are wolves, maybe we need to wrap our arms around them and begin to love them like God loved me when I looked a lot like a wolf, when I looked a lot like somebody who needed to be saved by the grace of God. Because the Bible says that while we were still sinners, God sent His Son. So while we were still the worst people possible, God sent and sacrificed His Son Jesus for us. And what an amazing message that is. What an amazing message that is for us. And what an amazing amount of tension there is in that message. That while somebody made you mad, they frustrated you, they were the worst possible person, while somebody did everything that you can't imagine to you, you still extended your hand, wrapped your arm around them, and gave him a huge, huge hug. Some of you right now are going, wait a second, I thought we were studying the book of Acts. This guy's gone into left field. But that's what's happening in the book of Acts. Because as we begin to study the book of Acts, as we begin to go through the book of Acts, and you know, we just saw the church has been born, and the Holy Spirit has fallen upon this church, and now Paul no longer comes with his own wise and persuasive words, but now he says the church comes, as he said, you know, in the power of the Spirit. The church has now grown, too. I mean, Peter gets up powered by that same Holy Spirit. Peter, who used to fall for everything, now doesn't fall for anything, and he stands for something. That something being Christ. We see in the latter half of chapter 2 that they devote themselves. They don't just follow Jesus. They devote themselves to Jesus. And I'm telling you what, when I read the Bible, I go, man, do I do that? Do I devote myself to Jesus? Because they devoted themselves to Jesus. So much so that they were okay with selling all their stuff. Because their stuff didn't matter. Only their Savior mattered. And I'm going to tell you what, I know a lot of people, myself included sometimes, where my stuff begins to compete with my Savior. And some of you are going, wait a second, not you, Pastor Jason. Yeah, you know why? Because I'm just being real with you. I'm being real. Because if I'm trying to be anything other than that, then am I in that category that while we were still sinners, God sent His Son? Am I still in that part? And that's what's going to start happening with the church here in Acts, is that as the church grows and blossoms and blows up, I mean, this is a church, this isn't like 120 people meeting in an upper room. This is no longer a small target. This now, as we get into chapter 3, this is 3,120 people who are following Jesus. Now, 3,100 people in that day and age was a lot of folks. That was a big, easy target. And as we're going to see, persecution is also going to rise up. But every single time as we continue through the book of Acts, persecution rises up. The church, like God, wraps its arms around the people. It doesn't go, well, you guys are Jews, you're out. You guys are Gentiles, you're out. You guys are this, you're out. You're this, you're out. Who fits into our club? Only you, 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 and you. So it gets to be a small club. We have a secret handshake, and we have special T-shirts that we wear. You know, and no. every single time the church begins to wrap itself around the same community that is persecuting it. Because you know why? They're not focused on what divides them. They're focused on what unites them. And when we focus on Jesus, I'm just going to tell you this so you understand this. Jesus doesn't desire that heaven be a country club filled with a select few members. Jesus desires that heaven is a place that's bursting at the seams with people who have been saved and redeemed and rescued. God wouldn't come on a rescue mission down here, empty himself of what it meant to be who he was, and walk amongst us if he only wanted to save a few of us. The elect is a huge number, in my opinion. Some of you may disagree with me, but I'm just telling you, I believe it's a huge number of people. I don't even believe we can define who's the elect and who's not the elect. Jesus came to wrap his arms around many so that many would come to know him. And this community, this church here in Acts, that's what they're going to do. They're going to wrap their arms around the persecuting community because Jesus is what unites them. And when Jesus unites you, you want more people to know who Jesus is because you want more people to come to the saving realization of Christ. You don't want to go, well, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. Some of the things that we argue about in the midst of our little clubs are inconsequential things. They're open-handed things. They're important to us within our circles. But you know what? I am not going to judge the salvation and power of Christ work in my Presbyterian and my Lutheran friend's life because they use a little bit of water a little too early. And I'm not going to judge my Baptist friend because they use a whole lot of water a little later. Because those are open-handed things. Look at the disciples here in Acts. They could have instantly said, well, you're out, you're out, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. We're going to keep our church at about a couple hundred people and that's it. So the lesson as we begin to get in chapter 3, because the church has been formed and now persecution will rise up. Satan is going to rise up to try and dismantle this thing that God is bringing called the church. And I want to tell you what that same Satan who's going to do that in the book of Acts as we begin next week looking through this now, really getting into the nuts and bolts of the ministry of the church, that's the same Satan who today is trying to divide us in all the places that Christ is seeking to unite us. So I just want to share today, you know, we say that it's Clergy Appreciation Month. Wrap your arms around somebody who you don't agree with. Be an ambassador. Be one of God's holy priests. Who goes out and he wraps his arm around somebody who he doesn't agree with so that they might find this common ground called Jesus. And do that because last time I checked when I read my Bible, that's what Jesus did. He came down to a bunch of people who totally didn't agree with him, wrapped his arms around him and saved them.
I wrote down extending grace, not judgment. What a life application point for me from today. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.